We're back with another episode of the Real Talk on Women's Health Podcast with Essentia Health. Very excited for this episode. We're talking stroke care and women's health. We have Pamela Hermes in studio, a certified physician assistant with Essentia Health. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's dive right in and start by talking about the risk of stroke. This is something that is so common in men and women, but what are the key risk factors for stroke in women?
Yeah, it's really important to talk about this, especially as it goes with women's health, because 1 in 5 women will have a stroke, and it's one of the leading causes of death and disability in women. Women have a lot of the same traditional risk factors that men do. So that would be hypertension, hyperlipidemia, diabetes, atrial fibrillation, smoking, obesity, sleep apnea. And then women specifically have risk factors associated with oral contraceptives, hormone replacement therapy. Age in women is a significant stroke risk factor, because women generally live longer than men. And then women are also more at risk for some genetic disorders that can put them at risk for clotting.
So are there any specific lifestyle factors that increase the risk of stroke in women?
So lifestyle factors, again, are the same as kind of the general public, making sure that you're an active person, that you maintain a healthy weight, that you don't start smoking, limit excessive alcohol use. And then women also have the risk factor of pregnancy that is associated with increased risk of stroke.
So I know with a lot of these things, prevention is a big topic. How does managing underlying conditions, like kind of the ones you've touched on, like hypertension, diabetes, high cholesterol, how do those contribute to stroke prevention?
Yeah, so hypertension, diabetes, high cholesterol, they're all things that put a strain on the blood vessels of our head and neck. They can lead to atherosclerosis, which can narrow blood vessels and cause strokes by decreasing blood flow to the brain. They can also put a strain on the blood vessels that sometimes results in bleeding in the brain, which is a less common type of stroke. They also put a strain on the heart that puts people at risk for arrhythmias that can contribute to stroke risk.
Are there any gender specific measures that women can take?
I think some of the things that women are maybe less aware of is to just be aware of the risk that hormone replacement therapy can sometimes put women at. Women that have stroke risk factors already, so women that are obese or have diabetes, then are also on hormone replacement therapy, can have a higher risk of stroke than a woman that would be on hormone replacement therapy without any stroke risk factors.
This might be a dumb question, but are there any instances where a stroke is simply just random?
There are strokes that we don't necessarily know the cause of them initially. We refer to those in stroke as cryptogenic strokes. A lot of strokes initially become cryptogenic, and then as we do more tests, we kind of are able to tease out an underlying etiology. But at the end of the day, even if we don't necessarily know exactly what caused someone's stroke, we still work on preventing, you know, comorbidities that can put people at risk for stroke.
I'm learning a lot here. So now let's talk about recognizing stroke symptoms. What are the common signs and symptoms of stroke in women?
Women have the same stroke signs and symptoms as men. We focus on sudden onset of different neurologic deficits. So sudden onset of weakness, sudden onset of numbness, sudden vision changes or sudden difficulty speaking or understanding, sudden loss of balance or dizziness. We use an acronym called BFAST in stroke. So that's BEFAST. The B stands for balance. E stands for eyes, meaning changes in your vision. F stands for face, so like a facial droop. A stands for arm weakness or leg weakness. And then S is speech and T is time, meaning that it's really important that you get to the emergency room quickly.
This might be another dumb question, but if you have any of these symptoms, what should you do?
Call 911. Go straight to the emergency room. Time is incredibly important. It's critical. Every minute, 2 million brain cells die during a stroke. And so every second counts. Immediate treatment for stroke can make a significant difference in outcome and recovery for patients.
Because I feel like a lot of times when I'm doing this podcast, you know, for example, I just did one on perimenopause. The symptoms are similar to a lot of other things, but I feel like in the case of a stroke, those are pretty particular symptoms.
They are. I think you'd be surprised how many people don't recognize them though, because people will wake up and their arm's weak and they're like, oh, I just slept funny on my arm. Or they wake up with vision changes and they're maybe my glasses are off or something like that. But even if it is something small, it's best to just get to the emergency room and be evaluated right away, because it's important to be treated urgently if needed.
Yeah. So when in doubt, seek medical attention. Better to be safe than sorry. So how is stroke diagnosed in women once they go seek that medical attention?
So when somebody comes to the emergency room with stroke signs or symptoms, the first thing that happens is a history and physical exam. So the emergency room doctor or a triage nurse will talk to you and find out how long your symptoms have been going on, what your symptoms are, you know, have they been kind of coming and going or have they been constant? And then we do a lot of different imaging tests. So the first test is usually a CAT scan of the brain. That's a fast raster image. It will show acute bleeding in the brain. It won't necessarily show an ischemic stroke, but it can show us if there's any bleeding. And then we usually do vessel imaging either with a CT angiogram or an MRA. That's to check and see if there's any blockages in the blood vessels. And then further on, we'll do something like an MRI of your brain, which will show us more detail regarding, you know, the stroke location, burden, how big it is, and if there are more than one stroke.
Can you treat a stroke? Like, is there a treatment for it, or is it kind of something you're going to be dealing with for the rest of your life, unfortunately?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So there are acute treatments for stroke that can minimize long-term disability. We do something called IV thrombolytics. If you show up to the hospital within 4.5 hours of your symptom onset or the last known well, so not necessarily the time that you noticed your symptoms starting, but the last time you were normal, we can give you a medication called Tenecteplase. That is a strong clot-busting medication that could help dissolve any clots that are in your brain. There is also a procedure that we can do called a mechanical thrombectomy. If we see a blockage in one of the blood vessels in your brain, we can take a catheter and put it down in your groin, lace it up to your brain, and then remove any clots. That procedure has a less rigid time window. And so that one can be done, you know, longer from symptom onset. We can also place stents in arteries. If there's significant narrowing in your carotid arteries or in the blood vessels, even in your head, we can put a stent there. If it's not a place that we can put a stent, we work really closely with our vascular surgery colleagues. And so they can help us with revascularization options.
And I don't know if this matters in terms of women or men, but if you have one stroke, do you have higher chances of having another stroke?
So research shows us that if somebody has a stroke, they're at the highest risk for having a recurrent stroke within the first 120 days of their stroke. But that's a really broad generalization about all types of strokes. Recurrence of stroke depends on your underlying risk factors and kind of the cause of your stroke. So if you have had a stroke because one of your arteries is narrowed in your neck, if we open up that artery, then your risk of recurrent stroke in the first 120 days goes down, assuming the rest of your arteries are okay. If you have a stroke because you have an arrhythmia in your heart, and then we start you on a blood thinner medication, the risk of stroke goes down. So it's really all about managing your long-term risk factors.
So once you do have a stroke, how does the rehabilitation process, what does that entail? And is there anything that women have to do differently than men?
So when you are in the hospital for a stroke, we immediately have all of our therapists evaluate you. There's physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapists that all see patients in the hospital. They work on cognition, swallowing, mobility. The goal is always to restore lost function and then improve quality of life with the hope that patients will go home after a stroke. We also have a wonderful physical medicine and rehab group at Essentia that sees a lot of our stroke patients. They work with social work and case management to determine, you know, the best place for ongoing therapy after the hospital. Because when somebody's stable, their stroke is stable and there aren't any other tests, there's no reason for them to really be in the hospital. And so then we look towards long-term recovery. That can either happen at like a low intensity setting, like a nursing facility. We have patients that go home and then do outpatient therapy. And then we have a large population of patients that go to inpatient rehab where they have daily intensive therapy.
So I feel like part of having a stroke, and thankfully I have never dealt with this in my family or me personally, but I feel like that would take an emotional toll on you as well. Maybe just it was traumatic. Maybe you have a fear of it recurring. So how do you address like the emotional challenges that women may face after having a stroke?
Stroke recovery is a long process, lifelong, really. And so it makes a big impact in people's lives. The long-term recovery from stroke, cognitive, emotional, physical, is really a multidisciplinary team of people that work together. There are case managers, there's counseling that we send patients to, there are social workers, there's therapists, there's support groups. Another huge portion of stroke recovery, and especially for women, because sometimes they're the primary caregivers for families, includes family support and education. So it's really important that family comes to therapy sessions with patients, that they understand what's going on just as much as the patient does, and that we're getting families the support that they need, especially if, you know, one of their main caregivers is not up to their usual level.
Well, I also imagine, you know, if somebody in a family has a stroke, that can also be traumatic and scary for the whole family as well, just like any other disease. disease or ailment. So are there any specific resources or support networks that you guys have at Essentia for women recovering from a stroke?
So there isn't anything specific to women, but Essentia does have a great stroke support group that meets monthly. It's the third Wednesday of every month. They have an in-person option that's wonderful. And then they also have a virtual option. Mobility with stroke patients is sometimes an issue. And so the virtual support is really great because Essentia has a wide network that we cover when it comes to stroke. And it's not always easy for people from Upper Michigan to drive 2.5 hours for a stroke meeting. So there are virtual options through Essentia as well. There is a stroke binder that we give patients while they're in the hospital, and it has everything that you would ever want to know about strokes. When we talk about stroke, there are two different types of stroke, and we really use it interchangeably. So there's ischemic stroke and hemorrhagic stroke. Our binder talks about the different types of strokes, the different locations of strokes, what we do to prevent strokes. And then at the very end of it, there is a list of community resources. The Minnesota Department of Health has some resources on there. And then I believe there's also the contact information for the stroke support group on that.
So lots of different options if for everything that anybody could need.
Yeah.
So how do you educate women about stroke risks and prevention strategies? What types of things do you guys do at Essentia Health to make women aware of this? Because I always hear about strokes. You know, it's common, unfortunately. But how do you guys take that one step further?
We do a lot of community education and public outreach for stroke. We go to a lot of community events. We talk about stroke risk factors. We do blood pressure screenings. We have different handouts with the BFAST acronym and then pictures on it. It has emergency numbers on there. It has directions to the emergency room. We have posters that we put up around the community. And then we work really closely with primary care doctors. Also, we do a lot of education for PCPs. We do education for EMS, the emergency medical services group here, to help them recognize stroke symptoms quickly so that they can send patients to the right place. And then there's a lot of nationwide campaigns with the American Heart Association and the American Stroke Association.
So that leads me to one of my last questions. What steps can women take to empower themselves and advocate for their own stroke care?
I think the best thing is to be aware of stroke risk factors. So all of those things that we talked about that are bad for blood vessels, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, diabetes, tobacco use, drug use, excessive alcohol use, cardiac arrhythmias, just being aware of those and then making sure you have regular check-ins with your primary care doctor to screen for any of them. People can buy their own blood pressure cuff, check your blood pressure. Nobody knows that they have high blood pressure until they actually check it. So just being aware of those stroke risk factors and working to minimize them as much as they can. Family history plays a role. Know your family history. If you have a lot of women in your family that have a history of blood clots or have had early strokes or cardiac disease, make sure you're checking in with your primary care doctor to see if there's anything you should be doing to decrease that risk factor.
I think that's important that you mentioned the family history part, because so many times, you know, you grow up with parents that maybe just have these ailments. They don't talk about it, or maybe you don't think twice about it. But just even asking, you know, if you're a woman, your mom, for more details, that probably goes a long way as well.
Yeah, you'd be surprised when we have patients in the hospital. And I've found that it's really important to ask specifically, not just has your parent had a stroke, but has your parent had blood clots? Does your sister have a history of a pulmonary embolism? That kind of thing. Those can all be clues to an underlying genetic risk factor that could put you at risk for stroke.
So as we kind of wrap things up here, is there any misconceptions that you hear often about stroke that you want to just take a moment to clear up? Because for me, like, I don't know too much about it. I just know the basics. Are there any myths or anything that you want to kind of bust right now while you have a chance?
Yeah, I think that when I first started working in stroke, the thought was that if you had a stroke or if you were having a stroke, that there was nothing you could do about it. It just happened. And then you know, went to therapy and hopefully it got stronger. A lot has changed with acute stroke management. And so there are options for acute stroke. If you know that you are having weakness or if you're having trouble communicating, the most important thing is to get to the emergency room right away. Because if you come within that 4.5 hour time window, we can give you medications to either stop the stroke or to reverse it even. That in itself, I think as people become more aware of those treatment options, has really changed the long-term recovery process for strokes. Additionally, the mechanical thrombectomy that we can do now and emergency stenting if needed, these are all things that have improved long-term death and disability from stroke. And so even if you don't know when your symptoms started, or if you don't know if there's anything we can do, it's just best to come to the emergency room and then let us figure it out for you. Don't sit at home and wonder if you should come in. Just come in right away.
Right. Even those things, like you said, waking up and maybe you have a tingly arm and you're like, oh, I slept on it. If something feels off, you know, follow your gut. Better to be safe than sorry. Well, Pamela Hermes, certified physician assistant at Essentia Health, thank you so much for being a guest. I learned a lot about stroke, and I feel like even if you don't have a family history of it, everybody should listen to this episode and educate themselves. So thank you so much for being a guest.
Thanks for having me.